Welcome back, children of the revolution. This is What You're Not Listening To, the audio anthology, an educational series, commercial and sponsor free here on Nasus Spades, BDX. Or however you're finding us, we're also on Spotify, or RSS feed, download your Android device, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. Yes. Yeah, I'm Daddy Ben Bear, Ben Brown Jr., your host, producer, audio engineer, researcher, webmaster, and writer. Yes. You can blame me for it all. And all the shows here that we're doing for Black History Month, we're doing five. We have all been coming by request by Black individuals as well. And this one comes from, and she asked me to use her full name, the lovely and wonderful Miss Glodina Jackson of Memphis, Tennessee. We had an opportunity to speak last month on the phone. And she's 71, and my mother passed away just last November at the age of 70, and my God, Ms. Jackson, it was so much like hearing my mom. You made me laugh, you made me cry, you made me feel all the things. Thank you. I can't thank you enough for this. And she wanted something that was going to sock it to her children. I can't even make this up. That's exactly what she said, because she wanted to teach the young people a little something about something, especially your grandchildren. I hope you're having a good time when you listen to this. I hope you're having a great, just dancing and laughing and just feeling all the things, because, right now I am as well. And she is incredibly hometown proud, and it doesn't get much more hometown than what we're about to talk about today, Children of the Revolution, because today we're spotlighting female solo acts and groups of history's greatest soul label, Stax Volts Records. Stax was founded in 1957 as Satellite Records in Memphis, Tennessee, by siblings Jim Stewart and Estelle Axton. Initially, they were not known for the Southern Soul sound they would become famous for. Early releases were the country, pop, and rockabilly fields, not unlike another local Memphis independent label, Sun Records. Producer Chips Moman introduced the pair to soul music, which is just coming into its own. A blend of gospel, R&B, and straight-ahead blues music that was just beginning to develop and find an audience. With the assistance of a popular local radio DJ, Rufus Thomas, Stax moved to an old movie theater where many of their early records would be cut on McLemore Avenue by an ethnically integrated band that would become known as Booker T and the MGs. For the uninitiated, Volt was a Stax subsidiary, one of the many the label would found. After finding out there was another Satellite Records, the siblings used a portmanteau of their names to relaunch the company. The first recording featured the aforementioned Thomas with his young daughter Carla on lead vocals. This impressed Atlantic Records so much that they struck up a distribution deal. The very first national hit for Stax was also a solo recording by the younger Thomas. By the mid-1960s, the little label that could was making some of the most exciting and well-loved music of the decade, even bringing to prominence many other, mostly male acts at the time, to the mainstream, including Otis Redding. At the end of 1967, when Atlantic was sold to Warner Brothers, a clause in the distribution contract meant that most of the masters from Stax would now become the property of the new conglomerate. Stax was now a label with a solid reputation, but without any catalog to sell. It was also at this time that Aretha Franklin became the biggest thing since sliced bread, even obtaining more gold records than the Beatles in 1967, and a sea change happened in music. It now seemed that labels were scrambling to sign Black female soul singers in the hope they could catch lightning in a bottle as well. Undaunted by the merger and the loss of the catalog, the siblings brought in a new president, Al Bell, who aggressively fought to keep the recording artist label, which he did, and forged a new identity as the premier Black label in the world, which they achieved in just 4 years. Not only did they have performer, songwriter, and producer Isaac Hayes, who became the first Stax artist with the number one single and album on the label, and by the way, a parenthetical here, also only the third person, Black person, I should say, to win an Oscar. They had also signed gospel group The Staple Singers, featuring three women and their father, who were reaching a national audience unheard of for any artist singing their type of socially conscious music. Sadly, a new distribution deal with CBS met with legal complications, stifling recording output for the label. Hayes was now also now personally bankrolling the label as well. This, coupled with changing taste in the music buying public, caused the label, and Hayes to go into bankruptcy. By 1975, Stax would cease operations for decades, with only recently being reactivated and releasing new music by, you guessed it, Southern soul artists. And normally, this is the part of the program where, you know, I really hype up and introduce a fantastic opening number. I like to believe they're all fantastic. They're just all fantastic numbers, no matter what part of the, whether they're opening or not. But I really have nothing else to say because, you know, the first artist here is going to do it all on her own. Children of the Revolution, originally from 1960. And this is a live recording, fantastic live recording from 1972 from the Watt Stacks. Remember, we're talking about the half-hour mark when we see you all again. This is Carla Thomas, the Queen of Memphis Soul.
Here's a song, ladies and gentlemen, that I recorded back in 1960. My very first recording. Hope you still remember it and care for it. This is the song.
speaking to every handsome guy's smile. But baby, that just ain't my style. You're the only kind that could ever blow my mind.
instead of you running away. You and me should be getting closer together, like birds of a feather.
Yeah, yeah.
Cause I know my love is strong enough to help me over here when the going gets tough. Yeah, and if you trust in me,
sweeter tomorrow. the door.
Woo! And how? Welcome back, Children of the Revolution, to the Audio Educational Anthology Series, What You're Not Listening To, here on Ace of Spades PDX. And I hope you're all having a good time. I'm serial host Daddy Ben Bear, Ben Brown Jr., whether you like it or not. Hopefully you do, but at least I hope you're enjoying the program as we're presenting it here for Black History Month, the Women in the Stax Volt label. Let's recap what we've heard in the first part of our show, shall we, before we get into the second amazing part. Kicked it all off was a 1972 live recording of Gee Whiz, Look at His Eyes, by the one and only Queen of Memphis Soul, the one and only Carla Thomas, who is still with us. Following that was from 1968, Judy Clay, Bed of Roses. Originally starting out as a gospel singer in a group that would include Sissy Houston, Dionne Warwick, and Dee Dee Warwick, she recorded hit tracks with Billy Vera, who would have a number one hit in 1986. Among her other credits was a private number with Stax mainstay William Bell. Following that, Barbara and the Browns from 1965, My Lover. A group that recorded for the Atco, Stax, Tower, and Cadet labels, Barbara and the Browns were a family act. After 1972, Barbara ended her recording career, settling in Detroit, Michigan, where she passed away in 2010. Following that was Roz Ryan from 1970, You're My Temptation. You may not know her name, but more than likely you have heard her voice. Roz Ryan has had a varied career, alternately as a singer, comedian, and most notably, a voice actress. She most famously was the voice of Thalia in the Disney animated film Hercules. Following that, Gene and the Darlings in 67, How Can You Mistreat the One You Love? Another gospel-based group, Gene and the Darlings not only released records under their own name, but were often backing singers on many classic Stax recordings. Their lineup included sisters Gene and Dee Dolphus, Gene's daughter Paula, and family friend Fifi Harris. After that, a personal favorite, Slipped and Tripped from 1973, The Sweet Inspirations. As backup singers, their resume is legendary. Aretha Franklin, Elvis Presley, Van Morrison, Wilson Pickett, Jimi Hendrix, among many others. After their lead singer Sissy Houston left in 70, they soldiered on with Ann Williams and scored several minor R&B hits for Stax. Following that was Sweet of Tomorrow from 1970 by Margie Joseph. Starting off her career on the Volt label, she found greater success on Atlantic, scoring a top 10 R&B hit with a cover of Paul McCartney and Wings' My Love in 1974. Salt and Pepper sampled her track Your Sweet Lovin' on their song None of Your Business. Following that, 1962, No Tears by the Tonettes. The Tonettes, based out of the Bronx in New York City, caught their big break when, believe it or not, a TV repairman named Lou Ezzo convinced the sisters Diana and Sylvia Sanchez to cut a demo. They would find success in the early rock era with singles like Oh, What a Baby before this release, their last ever. And the song we just heard, my God, literally, Better Get a Move On from 1972 by Louise McCord, recorded live. Originally a gospel singer for one of the final lineups of the amazing Roberta Martin Singers, McCord went solo at the end of the 1960s, eventually releasing her solo album for Stax on the Gospel Truth label. This recording of the lead song from that album, A Tribute to Mahalia Jackson, was recorded at Watt Stax, a 1972 concert at the Los Angeles Coliseum that celebrated the end of the Watts riots 7 years prior. Speaking of Watt Stax, we're featuring three tracks from that because, oh my God, I'm hoping that one day that Stax releases an incomplete, like, 10 CD box set of this music from these performers because there's just so much in the vaults that has not yet still been released. And we're going to hear another track from that. And much like another singer we were here later in this program, Mabel John, our next act was originally signed to Motown and originally found fame there, most notably in a duet with Marvin Gaye called It Takes Two. Upon leaving the label, she resurrected her career as Stax, recording the definitive versions of Lift Every Voice and Sing. The next voice you hear, however, will be the one and only Reverend Jesse Jackson, and we'll see you just before the grand finale.
Sister Kim Weston, the Black National Anthem.
Lift every voice.
Me. me. Oh, no.
Thank you.
And welcome back, Children of the Revolution, to the audio educational and anthology series, what you're now listening to here on Ace of Spades PDX. Still your host, Ben Brown Jr. And let's get our fourth of five Black History Month shows for here in February 2020. Yes, God, we're getting near the end. This always gives me the feels, right? I'm happy and I'm sad simultaneously. I guess this is the way love and life is, right? Let's recap what we've heard in our very special, by request from Glodina Jackson of Memphis, Tennessee, spotlighting a label out of Memphis, Tennessee, the Women of Staxville Records, shall we? Kicked it all off with Lift Every Voice and Sing, a live version of that in 72 by Kim Weston, also commonly known as the Black National Anthem. Following that was Barbara Stevens from 1962, That's the Way It Is With Me. One of the acts who was originally signed to Satellite Records before the name changed to Stax, this 62 track was one of several she cut for the label, including other better-known tracks such as The Life I Live and Wait a Minute. She retired from the music business to start and raise a family. She is still with us at the age of 81 and resides in Atlanta, GA. Following that, Annette Thomas, Nothing is Everlasting. From 1972, this is something that is common among all the women in this program. Every single one of them started singing off in church. And Annette Thomas, this artist, is no exception. A veteran of several well-known and professionally recorded gospel groups, including the 4th of May and the Gospel Girls, she also recorded solo singles for the Sax subsidiary, The Gospel Truth. Following that was from 1967. Man, I love this song. Mabel John, Wait You Dog. And if you've see the podcast page, you know, you see this quote from her that there are times that she believed that she would only be known as a blues singer. Well, I'm here to set the record straight because this is an educational program, Children of the Revolution. She was originally the first ever female artist ever signed to Motown. And John was dropped from the label after Berry Gordy thinned out his roster of blues acts to make room for more mainstream crossover hit makers. John went on to record several well-loved singles for Stax. She eventually became a Raylette, one of Ray Charles' backup singers. In 1973, while on tour with Charles, she said she heard a voice from God calling her to a new life. She moved to the City Angels, my hometown, earning a doctorate in divinity and founded the Joy in Jesus Ministry, which distributes food and clothing to those in need in one of the poorest areas of Los Angeles County, which at the age of 89, she still manages. By the way, Dr. Mabel John is also the older sister of the late Little Willie John, a pioneering rock and R&B singer. Following that, If You Think It, You May As Well Do It, from 1971 by The Emotions. Originally starting out as a gospel group, the Hutchinson Sisters, the group recorded their first secular recordings under the production team of Isaac Hayes and David Porter. Their biggest hit for the label came in 72 with Show Me How. However, their basic success ever would come in the number one pop and R&B smash, Best of My Love, produced by Maurice Wright of Earth, Wind & Fire in 1977. Following that, oh my God, what a fantastic tearjerker, which was also, believe it or not, featured at the end credits of one of the recently, I think it was in season two, of The Fabulous Mrs. Maisel. After Laughter, Come Tears, from 64 by Wendy Renee. Known to her parents as Wendy Frierson, she formed a vocal group called the Drapels. Also a songwriter, she penned this track alongside her brother, which was her biggest solo hit. She went on to record other tracks that are highly prized by collectors of Deep Soul and Northern Soul, including Barbecue. And Northern Soul has a fan base out of the Midlands in the UK that resurrected the career of many classic soul and R&B artists. Following that, You Think You're Hot Stuff, from 1971 by the one and only Gene Knight. A New Orleans native, Knight had given up on a career in music by 1970 after several failed attempts. After being rediscovered by a local talent scout, believe this or not, as a cafeteria worker at a local college, she started recording tracks for Malico, another Southern Soul label. And this, along with other tracks, including the number one R&B song of 1971, Mr. Big Stuff, would resurrect her career. And here we are. Yes. Yeah, from 1974. Stax started out their career fortunes with a female singer. It is fitting that the last hit recording they would ever have would be with another female singer. This is a number one R&B hit, spent 2 weeks there, and a top 30 pop single as well. This singer is not to be confused with the other Shirley Brown of Shirley and Lee, so Let the Good Times Roll, fantastic track, or Shirley and Company's Shame, Shame, Shame. This track happened quite by accident. The song was originally offered to Stax artist Inez Fox, who turned it down, thinking a woman could not pull off the spoken word delivery. And if you have questions, feedback, comments, love letters, dedications, and requests, always welcome. Please drop me a line at daddybenbear, one word, daddybenbear@gmail.com. Love to you all. Have a fantastic, wonderful, and safe Black History Month. Our next show will be for the last one. We're hopefully having it by the 26th or 27th, just before the 29th, which will be John Coltrane on Atlantic. This is Woman to Woman by Shirley Brown, and love to you all.
Hello, may I speak to Barbara? Barbara, this is Shirley. You might not know who I am, but the reason I'm calling you is because I was going through my old man's pockets this morning, and I just happened to find your name and number. So woman to woman, I don't think it's being any more than fair than to call you and let you know where I'm coming from. Now, Barbara, I don't know how you're gonna take this, but whether you be cool or come out of a bag on me, you see, it really doesn't make any difference. But it's only fair that I let you know that the man you're in love with, he's mine. From the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, the bed he sleeps in, and every piece of food he eats. You see, I make it possible. The clothes on his back, I buy them. The car he drives, I pay the note every month. So I'm telling you these things to let you know how much I love that man. Woman to woman, I think you'll understand just how much I'll do to keep him. Woman to woman, if you've ever been in love, then you know. Same.